Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
Greetings, fans of the esoteric, and welcome to Madame Magenta and the Arcati Killer, chapter Sugar for My Honey. Sweets for my sweet.
Yes, more food on the brain, isn't it?
Yes, I don't know why the last chapter was just called Magenta.
Yeah, that was really strangely titled, wasn't it?
I think I really had given up.
You had just gone, Magenta.
That's terrible, isn't
it? I mean,
it
is. That's an unusual lapse of dedication to you.
Well, I don't know, dear. My energy levels are very up and down, aren't they?
That's true.
Sometimes I just stop mid-sentence and you need to give me a little nudge to keep going again.
But sometimes you disappeared into the astral planes.
That's true. When one is as finely tuned as I am, you can get lost quite frequently.
Yes, and it's not always in your control, is it?
No.
Sometimes the spirits just come over you.
Yes, and sometimes I'm just thinking of what to have for dinner, but you know.
Who knows?
You don't know which it is. Anyway, let's get on with it.
Right.
Sugar for my honey. Oh, I'm Egg, aren't I?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so this is Sergeant Egg starting the chapter. We need to bring Magenta in, Egg argued on the street outside Sandra's house. Come on, sir. I don't understand why you're hesitating. Just the fact that she knew about one of the bodies before anyone else tells us how involved she is. And you heard Sandra. She considers Magenta to be some kind of queen of the witches. She's like a cult leader, Eldris, a manipulator, a power chaser. Egg pursed her lips. She's been playing you, sir. I'm sorry, but she has. I think she might be behind everything. Eldris mmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmmm seriously. Are you even listening? Egg asked accusingly.
1 minute.
Eldris murmured. The texts were from the arch-manipulator herself. The first one said she'd skipped town, and the second text comprised of a list compiled by her dog. It made very little sense, although the mention of Bob's sexual partners gave him pause. He'd not pursued that angle again after the first failed attempt. Eldris sighed and shoved the phone in his coat pocket.
While we're in the area, we may as well check on the neighbour,
he said, nodding towards number 32. The stone cats stared bitchily back. What? Egg said, confused by the new conversational direction. Sandra's neighbour? Why? Eldris scratched his neck and looked over Egg's head. He was still avoiding locking eyes with her.
Yeah, you're not going to like this. Magenta said that the killer had been having it off with one of Sandra's neighbours. I didn't think it was worth mentioning before.
You're kidding, Egg's mouth dropped open. You didn't think that was important?
It's not like that,
he replied defensively, raking his scalp.
It's because... Look, you remember I mentioned Magenta's dog telepathy to you? How she said that's how she knew all the stuff?
Ugh, yes.
It's not that strange.
Eldris argued weakly.
There's plenty of precedent for dogs finding bodies. Dogs find bodies all the time.
Normally on walks in forests. Not because they've smelled the whole story on someone's clothes and then told a police informant about it. Egg sighed impatiently. Well, what's this got to do with the neighbour?
Because Magenta said that the same dog who knew about the body also told her that the killer was bonking Sandra's neighbour. But you can't interrogate someone because of a gossipy dog. That's, well, it's...
Insane, Egg finished, face grim. She grabbed his arm roughly, her long fingers curling round his wrist. Eldris flinched in surprise and looked at Egg properly. Her face seemed fierce. Let me get this straight. Magenta told you that her dog told her the killer was having an affair with Sandra Herring's neighbours.
No,
said Eldris. What? But you just said...
It wasn't Magenta's dog that told her. It was Sandra's dog. And Bob was only having an affair with one of the neighbours, not both.
He nodded towards number 28.
It can't be that one. An old man lives there alone. But the man at number 32 lives with his mother.
Egg released his wrist. Oh, right. Eldris's wrist tingled where she'd held it. He tried to ignore it.
We should talk to her. What else can we do? We're stuck.
Eldris pleaded.
We need to be flexible, Egg. We need to open our minds to new possibilities. We need to explore every avenue, even if the information comes from a madwoman.
Madwoman or perpetrator, Egg muttered, gazing at her shoes. She sighed and looked up and then up again into his eyes. Eldris wondered if they should kiss. Probably not. New possibilities, eh? Egg repeated, her face unreadable. New avenues.
It's worth a try,
Eldris said. He paused.
Magenta's information has worked out every time, Egg. Every time.
Egg snorted. Pardon me. I just coughed on my own snort.
Did you really? That was extraordinary.
Well,
snort.
The air hit the back of my throat and it caused a cough.
Yeah, I see.
There we go. Where was I? Oh, yes.
Egg snorted.
Yes. I know. She speaks. We act. She's probably laughing at you. At us, I mean.
Yep. And like you say, she might be behind everything. But that shouldn't stop us from checking out every angle.
Egg nodded, turning her head to gaze sightlessly down the street. The wind rustled her thin, wispy hair. Eldris realised they were standing so close, he could see each of her ice-blonde eyelashes and the trace of veins under the delicate skin round her eyes. She seemed as pale and fragile as one of those see-through newborn mice, but a lot less revolting. She turned back to him, and in that instant, an ineffable thrum passed between them, a mutual knowledge needing no words. Eldris leaned forward hungrily, lips seeking lips. Christ! Egg exclaimed, jerking backwards, eyes wide.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
He stuttered, heart in throat, mortified again. He raised his hands and stepped back.
I thought that...
Egg raised her own hands, mirroring Eldris's body language. No, no!
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Don't be scared.
I'm not, she lowered her hands. It's okay, I mean, don't be sorry. I just didn't expect it. You surprised me.
I'm so sorry. It was...
really inappropriate.
Well, yeah, yes, I suppose so, yes.
Really terrible timing, too. Like, really terrible. And then Egg started to laugh, in earnest. And laugh and laugh and laugh. Oh, dear, I can't do this as Egg. It's very hard to laugh in character.
Yes, but...
How would Egg laugh?
You have a very strident laugh.
There we go. Spluttering fragments of incoherent sentences as she did, Bona being the only thing Eldris could properly make out, each time sending her off into even greater paroxysms. Paroxysms? Paroxysms.
Paroxysms, I think.
Bona. Just like that. Until her cheeks were splotched with daubs of red. God, I'm out of breath now. Eldris stood stupidly by, waiting for the hysteria to pass. It went on for quite a bit. He was pretty sure he didn't fancy her anymore. Oh, Eldris, Egg eventually said, dabbing at her eyes and straightening up. You're so bad at this. She chuckled again. There we go. And punched him playfully on the arm. Come on, she smiled. Let's go talk to this neighbour.
This is a very impressive bit of laugh acting you did.
Thank you. I mean, everyone, a lot of people are writing in saying Bernard's... You're very good at voices.
Well, I know I do try.
I just thought it was time to show my own skills.
And you certainly did.
Thank you.
I think you might have even peaked the microphone.
but that's
all right.
Well, you know, it's the drama and the emotion that's the important bit, not the sound quality.
Yes, that's true.
Although I know you're very into sound quality.
Yeah,
I am rather.
I will definitely have to go back and fix that. Yes. I
well, you could always just cut bits out and then explain. Like you could come in, you could edit it and say, Bernard here. Magenta's excellent acting.
Magenta did some acting that was too loud and
too
simply too impressive. Too intense and impressive to be allowed to stand, quite frankly.
Yes.
All right. Well, maybe I'll do that.
Should we do another chapter? Or
yes, let's keep going.
All right. This chapter's called Your First Sweet Kiss Thrilled Me So. I'm just doing song lyrics now.
You are, yeah. And they don't appear to have very much to do with what's being talked about. But it's very interesting. Interesting.
It's very hard coming up with chapter names.
Yes, yes.
I mean, in season one, I just numbered the chapters. And that was hard as well because I kept losing count.
Yes,
that's
right.
There were three chapter 12s.
Three chapter 12s, and then you missed certain numbers out altogether.
Yes, and so I couldn't do numbers again, so I started naming them. But after a while, you're like, what the bloody hell do I call this one?
Yes.
So you just start doing song lyrics.
All right.
All right. Here we go. Oh, so this is texting again. Do you want to do your text voice?
Oh, yes. I had a sort of robotic text voice. Yes. All right. Come up here now. Now. We have to get out of here. I have something to tell you about Roger. Go get Dave.
I text furiously to Bernard and then wait. Seconds pass. Nothing. I open up a new message.
Eldris, I didn't tell you because I didn't understand the significance, but Sandra's neighbour's mother is my husband's boss's mother.
God, it's so complicated. I hesitate before typing more, as I still don't actually understand the significance, or whether that text makes any sense without a diagram to explain it. But it must be significant. I mean, what are the chances of a psycho killer bonking both Sandra and Roger's mum? Two people connected to me, but who don't know each other. For goodness sake, London isn't some tiny village where everyone knows everyone else. It must mean something. I press send, hoping Eldris will figure out the significance. He's had more practice at this sort of thing than me, after all. I wait. 5 minutes go by. 10. I pace, because that's what people do on the telly when things are serious, and I'm hoping it will relieve some of the stress. It doesn't, so I sit down by the window and jog my knee up and down. 15! 15 minutes and no text! Bernard must be in a meeting and unable to get to his phone. He did mention he'd be tied up all morning. Or maybe he's been literally tied up by the killer, who is, stroke, was, Roger's mum's lover! I tell myself how unlikely that is. There are over 100 million... No, not 100 million.
100 million? How big is this place?
Yes, there are over 100 people milling around downstairs. I can't imagine anyone could attack Bernard in the midst of all this. So that's the people who work for the security firm.
Yes,
just in case you need reminding.
Yeah.
Plus, it's me the killer's after, not Bernard. Probably. Or is it? I make myself more comfortable. Knowing Bernard, he probably won't even look at his phone until he comes up for lunch. He forgets to charge the ruddy thing most of the time. My phone pings with an incoming message. It's Eldris.
Where are you? Neighbour is connected to you? Explain significance.
I text as quickly as possible, my hands shaking, which means I hit a lot of wrong keys. Ron keys. Who's Ron Keys?
Ron Keys.
Which means I hit a lot of wrong keys and autospell steps in to complicate everything.
Roger is we arcs. OSS, very strange man, Roger's mum, Tog, serving murderer Bob, and me friends Santa.
Shit! I type again.
Roger is Bernard's boss, very strange man, Roger's mum, rogering murderer Bob, and my friend Sandra.
For our American listeners, Roger, to Roger, the verb to Roger, is like the verb to shag.
Yes, that's right, which is also a Britishism. If you
yes, which is complicated because we also have a character called Roger.
Yes, that's right.
So when Roger's mum is rogering Bob means Roger's mum is shagging Bob.
Yes, she's getting a good rogering, which is also why we find the name of the actor Roger Moore very amusing in this country.
Yes. I mean, Bond film. We have Pussy Galore, but that's a character. They made that name up.
Yes.
Whereas Roger Moore, a real person.
I mean, Roger Moore really does sound like a 1970s porn star
I mean,
in our lexicon.
It's so Austin Powers.
It is,
wonderful.
Yes.
Anyway, I send it and wait. This time I get a reply within seconds.
Where are you?
And that's it. Nothing else. I text again, painfully slowly, in an attempt to make sense.
Doesn't matter where I am. You go get Roger's mum.
I wait. Although with less expectation than before. And rightly so, Eldris doesn't text back. I get up and start pacing again. It helps a bit this time. It allows my brain to think by channeling all the nervous energy elsewhere. So, Roger's mum is having sex with a murderer. Not just any old murderer, one who specialises in killing psychics and occultists. I should probably assume, for now, that Roger's mum, and therefore by extension her son, is a potential threat. And of course, Bernard and I have sought sanctuary in a building owned by Roger, a building in the middle of bloody nowhere, relatively speaking. I may not understand why, who, what, or how, but I do know one thing. We need to get the hell out of here. And that's the end of the chapter.
Gosh, a lot of urgency here.
Oh, it's exciting.
I wonder where I am.
Well, you're probably in a meeting or something.
Probably.
It's a normal workday and you're very conscientious.
I'm a very conscientious worker, you see.
Yes.
But you've done an interesting narrative device here because it's ramping up the tension. Because we don't know where I am.
No, that's true. You could be tied up.
Although, maybe I am tied
up. As there are 100 people who work in this building, I don't know how they would have got to you.
Yes.
Although maybe, you know, maybe they're all in cubicles.
Yes, could be. Or maybe they're all in it. Maybe it's a murder on the Orient Express type thing.
Yes.
Maybe every single employee at my firm.
And that's why there's too many damn characters in this novel.
That's right, yes.
Although I don't think there's 99 and they all work for Roger's firm.
No. But maybe that's the reveal.
God, I hope not.
That I don't think terrible. It is. I don't think it is.
No. All right, everyone. Lovely to pretend to see you and hear you. And I will do that again very soon. Bye-bye.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Good evening, and welcome to Strange Air. I am your host, Malcolm Smith, and I'll be here for the next 4 hours taking your calls as we explore the outer regions of reality.
10 years ago, Malcolm Smith vanished from the face of the earth. One moment, he was on the air in the middle of a sentence, and the next moment, he was gone.
People will believe anything.
So, what do you think happened?
I believe your father staged the whole thing.
I believe your daddy was taken.
Do you believe in miracles?
I guess people believe what they want to believe.
I believe I'll have a little more wine.
It's time you heard the truth about your father!
You're completely insane.
Did someone hit you?
Leave me alone! What's going on? I'm going to find my father.
Strange Air. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Visit StrangeAirPodcast.com for more information.